And we're back live again. If you're still around, and we just did a sports podcast, but we got some breaking news on Virginia coronavirus response. And for that, I'm going to bring in Crystal Graham. As I was finishing up our sports podcast, Crystal was doing the hard news, heavy lifting in terms of Governor Ralph Northam, a news conference at 2 o'clock Eastern time. So about a half hour ago, it's wrapped up from Richmond. And the latest on the coronavirus response in Virginia. And Crystal Graham's been taking the notes. She's ready to report for us. And just waiting for her to join us here on the podcast. But yeah, we got some news. I understand among the news items that we'll have to report, public schools will be closed to the end of the year. Probably not a surprise. As end of the school year, I should emphasize. Lots of school systems, particularly those in our area. Augusta Free Press, based in Stanton, Waynesboro, Augusta County. School years in middle of May. So if you were thinking ahead, you would probably assume that you would have seen such a thing pop up. And now Crystal Graham is calling in, so we'll be able to get her. She's got all the latest. And Crystal, are you with us?
I am. Thanks, Chris. I know you were wrapping up that sports podcast, so I tuned in to the governor's news conference, which was streaming live through Facebook. And like you said, the biggest news out of the news conference today is that all schools are going to be closed through the end of the academic year. He did specify this is for public and private schools. He said it would be up to division leaders to make decisions. They're working on waivers related to test requirements, and also that they're working to make sure that those who are on track to graduate in June still graduate on time.
So there is that news. And I was saying, Crystal, right before you joined on, that's for those in the Stanton, Waynesboro, Augusta area, particularly in other parts of the state that have an early start to the school year. We start our school year here in early August. And so our school year would end in mid-May. So if the thought was that you at the earliest you may come back could be mid-April, really, that would be another transition that would probably be untenable, given that you would have been doing a month of online learning and then you come back, and so not a surprise in that context. I'm seeing headlines too here from some other news sources, and you have the details, so I want you to give it. But I'm seeing an order about non-essential businesses. What do you have on that?
Sure, let me kind of give you the rundown as to what happened. And all this has been posted right now to Augusta Free Press's Facebook page. If you go to facebook.com/AugustaFreePress, I've kind of posted the breaking news as it was happening. Again, the news conference is still going on now, but he's taking reporter questions, mainly just clarifying some of the statements that he made. So in addition to schools, and again, more direction is coming from the Department of Education soon on that, according to the governor. As of midnight tomorrow and for the next 30 days, all restaurants are limited to curbside carryout and delivery. That had happened in most restaurants already, although some were allowing up to 10 patrons at any given time. Basically, that 10-patron dine-in ability is being removed. Right now, it's just being limited to curbside carryout and delivery. All entertainment and recreation facilities must close. He said that includes gyms, bowling alleys, things of that nature. All personal care businesses that cannot maintain social distancing, such as barbers, must close. And again, this is for the next 30 days. Non-essential retail businesses are limited to 10 or fewer patrons and must maintain social distancing guidelines. This is patrons, not staff. So you can have additional staff on hand in addition to the 10 or fewer patrons. If businesses cannot follow those specific guidelines, they must close. As far as essential businesses, the ones that are allowed to remain open, banks, grocery stores, pharmacies, things of that nature, they must step up sanitizing measures. And gatherings of more than 10 or more people are banned. So again, there had been some talk that you shouldn't be allowed to have gatherings of 10 or more, but that's specifically banned now in the state of Virginia. Other announcements that were made during the news conference, ABC stores will remain open, but again, limited to those social distancing guidelines. One of the bigger things is childcare. Apparently 1.2 million children under 12 in the state of Virginia. Approximately 80,000 of those children are to parents who are considered essential personnel, nurses, doctors, some of those people who work for those essential businesses. So the governor's calling on local communities to kind of rally together for the children and come up with solutions now that this is more long term instead of just 2 weeks. Other things that came out in the news conference is there is a line that you can call if you're in need of food during this time. There is a text line set up where you can text food, or this is a little different, but or COMIDA, COMIDA, to 877-877, and you'll be provided with information about feeding sites near you. According to the governor, you know, again, things are changing fast. This is a period of sacrifice. We need to care for each other from afar. Our priority is to save lives. We're facing both an economic crisis as well as a health crisis, according to the governor. More information in particular to child care and food needs, as well as the cancellation of school through the end of the year, at least in person, online education, it sounds like, is still going to be moving forward, is going to be provided by the Department of Education and the Department of Social Services as time goes on. So at this point, just a lot of information. They're not, he did not issue a shelter in place order, as I understand West Virginia did just this morning. So he did not officially do that. But in, you know, when you look at what's been put forth, you know, it's as close as you can be to that.
Yeah. And I don't know what's different, honestly, about this this news, except for the schools officially being closed to the end of the academic year.
I think the other thing would just be the 30 days, you know, that he's given a timeline right now. You know, up until now, I think it's just been that, you know, we had that 10 or less patrons type words already in our vocabulary that's been put out quite a lot related to social distancing. But now he's specifically said for the next 30 days, okay, this is what we're expecting. So at least restaurants, you know, fitness facilities, things of that nature, they now have the ability to understand that. Also, some fitness centers in our region were staying open and they were only allowing 10 people at any given time. He's basically saying, if you're a recreation business, if you're a fitness facility, if you're an entertainment business, it's time to close.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. I had missed the 30 days part originally. As you were talking, Crystal, I was also trying to scan and see some other news reports about this. You covered it very well. And so there is, that's the difference. 30 days is sort of a deadline. This is what, March 23rd. So roughly April 23rd or so, I mean, whatever.
I think since he said starting tomorrow at midnight, I'm assuming he means like the overnight, okay, but I would say that this is at least through the 24th or 25th of April that we're looking at this time.
And so I guess the point I was making about not much difference, okay, that is a huge, huge difference, giving a timeline. Also, though, I know from the standpoint of life in Stanton, Waynesboro, Augusta County, okay, yeah, there were some fitness centers that were staying open. Now they will have to close. But largely, you know, and a lot of national retailers, you know, they're in fact, in our area, there are a lot of big box stores, as they're called, national chain retail stores, had already closed their doors. Restaurants had already been transitioning to the curbside service. Life has slowed down a lot already. In that sense, but yeah, I guess that is the possible end date, let's call it that, for this is in place. And also, yeah, the fact that kids and parents, more particularly the parents, now know that they've got to come up with solutions for their children through the end of the school year. Also, thus, I mean, this means summer vacation in a sense, even though the kids will still have their online learning. We are now in mid-March. Schools don't start back up Stanton, Waynesboro, Augusta, theoretically, until the first week or so of August. So that's a long period of time for parents to have to deal with, you know, the fact that their kids, you know, and can't go to summer camps, at least, you know, I guess that theoretically will happen if we're able to get back to some normalcy. Maybe not. We'll find that out later on. But it does just ramp up the challenges for parents in particular.
Right. The other thing that he did touch on was, of course, the number of unemployment claims that have been made. He said, you know, before this crisis happened, Virginia was at one of its lowest unemployment rates to date. And now there have been, I believe he said, 40,000 unemployment claims already made, as a lot of businesses are making decisions to shut down or, you know, having to lay off at least temporarily in restaurant business and things of that nature. It sounds to me what he's saying in regards to that is that more information will be forthcoming, especially related to which businesses are considered essential, because, of course, there's a lot of manufacturing facilities and things like that that are still operating. some guidelines, it sounds like, will be forthcoming on more vocabulary, but specifically related to what should stay open and what should close. But they did specifically call out those particular businesses that I've already highlighted, especially entertainment and recreation and those particular ones.
Yeah, because I've seen other states' orders, and we're still waiting the official word from the state just to delineate, as you said, Crystal. But I've seen other states' orders. Now, you mentioned grocery stores, pharmacies, banks. I've seen other states also list home improvement stores and other countries, hardware stores. I mean, you know, so places like Lowe's, Home Depot kind of places may stay open. I'm not sure if you know, you would have the home and gardening section may be open, but the parts of those stores where, you know, if you need to make repairs to your home, and those can be situations that are hard. I mean, you know, just speaking of us here at our home office at Augusta Free Press, we do have issues with, but sometimes we've got it fixed now, but we've had some issues with a leak. And so, you know, keeping home improvement stores, hardware stores open could be an important thing there. Hey, we got actually a comment from a listener. Hello, a person from Richmond, Virginia, who's just moved to Washington State. I miss home. Don't know a lot going on in the area since being gone. And up there, actually, in Washington State, you guys have been dealing with this, I assume, for a lot longer. I mean, that the nursing home situation from, yeah, you're saying it's bad. From a few weeks ago, one of our regular podcast contributors, actually Jerry Carter, who does a sports podcast with me here on Augusta Free Press, lives up in the San Juan County area, those islands off the coast there of Seattle. And so he's been updating us. We talk sports, but he's also been updating us on a new situation for the last several weeks. And you've been on lockdown for 2 weeks, I see. So it's you guys have been dealing with this for a lot less, or for a lot longer period of time, I should say, than certainly we have here in Virginia. Things, I wouldn't call it a lockdown, but it feels like a lockdown when nothing's open for the last week or so. And so you've been already there for a couple of weeks, and I'm sure have a few more weeks to go. We now at least know we have 30 days more to go with that lockdown situation. And we have at least three cases. I'm just reading kind of the comments for those who aren't following along on the thread but are listening to the podcast. Our contributor from Southeast Washington State talking about three cases there now, a small town. Yeah, the small towns are coming later into this process. I can speak to that experience from our Augusta County, Stanton, Waynesboro standpoint. The two cities here are roughly 25,000 residents. The county surrounding us, about 75,000 residents. We still don't have a confirmed case yet. I mean, I think we all assume that there are obviously people here who have had exposure to coronavirus. Maybe they're the asymptomatic carriers, that kind of thing. And actually, our contributor saying also had one person die there in her locality in her 80s. And we've been told certainly that folks who are older and have underlying conditions are more predisposed. But yeah, in our local area, no cases confirmed yet. That I'm sure won't be the case by the time whenever this sort of calms down for the country and the world. We will certainly have a case or cases, but the small towns where you are more geographically spread out, the rural areas where you're more geographically spread out, not as impacted quite yet. New York City, New York State has half the cases of the United States. I just read that about an hour ago. And so, yeah, you know, those more geographically compact areas, cities, urban areas, dense urban areas, more impacted. But right now we're all impacted with the word here in Virginia. So Crystal, what was the tone? You obviously watched the news conference. You saw the governor talking. What was the tone of him and the reporter's questions?
I mean, definitely concern, and definitely this did not seem like decisions that he made lightly. You know, I think that many of us expected perhaps this, you know, this larger measure, this stay in place measure to be coming forth. You know, he stopped short of that, although I'm not sure that the recommendations that he made really fall short of what I've seen in other localities related to that. I think that, you know, if you didn't watch it live, you can go to the Governor of Virginia Facebook page, and the Facebook Live is archived there. He may still be taking questions related to the efforts as well. I think the main information is just that, you know, things are changing rapidly. And so he's suggesting that more information will be coming forth in coming days, especially related to some of these new measures in place. Again, you know, for 30 days now, we're looking at changes where really, unless you're an essential employee where you work, you're really limited to going to get groceries, going to the pharmacy, gathering with 10 people or less going forward. So I think that some businesses that have maintained staying open may now be forced to close, you know, as part of these new guidelines. And that other than that, you know, the biggest decisions as a community that need to be made seem to be related to childcare, because especially for these people in Virginia who do work for essential businesses, they're now looking at more of a long-term, you know, approach or long-term plan for their kids, for their education. So, you know, as a whole, it just seems like, you know, we're making, you know, we're going to be dealing with this for the next at least 30 days. And for school systems, you know, parents need to come up with a plan for the year. And it sounds like each locality will be able to make some of their own decisions as to how things are handled going forward with, of course, guidance from the Department of Education.
You know, I would
go ahead. Well, I was just going to say the governor also did give one other update. As of noon today, he said that Virginia does have 254 positive cases of coronavirus and 6 deaths. So that was one of the things he wanted to make sure to that he gave that information at the top of the news conference.
Whereas by comparison, I'm refreshing the numbers here. New York State, 20,903 cases, 153 deaths. And we have to be careful about talking about the cases in particular. Actually, those who listen to our sports podcast, which just wrapped up literally just a few minutes ago, we talked more coronavirus news than you would expect on a sports podcast, probably, because if you're going to talk sports, you have to talk about the coronavirus and its impact on sports. The numbers will continue to go up, and I'm going to say this, and it's going to sound counterintuitive. You actually want them to go up, because if they go up, I don't want more people to get coronavirus. I'm not saying that. I want the number of cases to go up because it means we're doing more testing, and we need more testing. That's the key to this. The more testing that's done, obviously, the more people we're going to find who have coronavirus. Hopefully, the more testing is done, we also find out that we have people who are asymptomatic, who are carrying it but don't know they have it, don't have any symptoms, or very mild symptoms to the point where they don't think they're sick at all. But they're going out in public and as a result, maybe obviously passing it on to other folks. If more people who are asymptomatic or very mild symptomatic find out they've got it, they quarantine themselves for 2 weeks, that's going to slow the spread of this. It's the people who have the virus but aren't showing it that actually can be, so to speak, more dangerous. The people who go to hospitals, they're already being taken out of the equation. You know, or if you're sick enough to stay home but not go to the hospital, then again, you're taking yourself out of circulation. It's the others who aren't symptomatic. And there's a lot of people who aren't, but are carrying the virus that actually can be a, so to speak, bigger problem. So, the more testing that we do and the more cases we find, especially those of that mild nature, mild or asymptomatic completely nature, the better off this is going to be. So, I would caution those. I watch these numbers way too much. I'm looking at these numbers several times an hour during the waking hours of the day as a news reporter, news editor. Don't let yourself get as alarmed as you probably are about the number of cases. Look more at the number of tests we're doing. You can actually go to it. There's a COVID-19 tracker we have linked on our website that will give you that information. And then actually, the more tests we're doing, the better off this is. We need to test. We need to test a wider range of people. We need to test people who've been in contact with people who have coronavirus, and that's going to mean we need more tests available to the hospitals, to the first responders out there. As those numbers ramp up, yeah, you're going to see the number of cases go up. But hopefully, we can keep this in line as a result of more testing being done. So don't let yourself get alarmed. In fact, follow the advice of our contributor from Washington State. She says she's been spending wonderful time in her garden, planting, weeding, reading, dancing, music, movies, journaling, crafting, staying positive and busy, self-care, stay safe, peace out. That's a good way to look at this. And I think, Crystal, we've been trying to do that here in our home office. And hopefully a lot of our listeners have been too.
I actually put something on Facebook this morning. You know, I'm a big social media person, and I put something on social media this morning, kind of just asking my friends, you know, how are you doing? Because for most of us, this is week two of kind of our self-quarantining. Some people, I know at least three friends who had to quarantine about a week earlier. So for them, they may be going on to week three of this. And I kind of just said, you know, how's everybody doing, you know, during this social distancing? And for the most part, I think that the shock has worn off is what most people were saying. You know, initially there was just such a shock related to this. But for the most part, the people seem to kind of be getting into a routine, a pattern, you know, that kind of thing. Some friends were worried about family members who might work in a medical hospital, that kind of thing. So they're taking kind of extra steps, that kind of thing. But I would say as a whole, you know, my advice would be to really, yes, as you said, take good self-care. You know, people are going to be needing to make a plan if you have children for the end of the school year. Whether you're a business that's making decisions about whether you have to close or not, or whether you're someone who has been laid off, there are a ton of resources available to you. We've tried to put as many as we can together for you on AugustaFreePress.com. If you click on AFP coronavirus links, there's tons of information for businesses. I mean, as the governor said, things are changing daily. And so, you know, especially your local news sources are doing their best to keep you up to date as far as what resources are available in our local community. And it sounds like we're in this for the long haul. I mean, 30 days in the grand scheme of things is a small period of time, but to many of us, that seems very, very long, especially if you're not working or you've been laid off. So take a moment, catch your breath, and then kind of dive into the resources that the community has made available to you, because it seems like, and I think you would agree with this, Chris, community members are really stepping up to help each other out. There's a great Facebook page right now that's kind of connecting volunteers with people who need things. I know the Waynesboro YMCA has just launched some efforts that they're stepping up if you need help or volunteer. You know, as a community member, I went and got 4 grocery gift cards that I'm going to donate to the Y, because I know the executive director, Jeff Fife, there will put them in the hands of people that need them in our community. And I think that the more that those of us who are able to can step in and, you know, support people who are in greater need in our community, then I think that we're all going to come out of this just fine. It doesn't mean that this next 30 days, and especially for businesses reestablishing themselves, are not going to be a tremendous struggle. But it does seem like the state and the federal and even the local level, you know, that people are stepping up to try to make this as easy as possible for people considering the circumstances.
Yeah. And that's what hope, you know, you always hope that that's what will be the case. You hope that people will come together. And it's been heartening to see that folks are coming together. This is a difficult time for all of us, but we can make it easier by coming together. And it's the kind of thing where, I mean, we talked about this over the weekend, Crystal, you and I, just privately, that it's reminiscent of how we came together as a nation after 9/11. And this will be something that will impact us for a longer period of time, and at least from an economic sense, even if it's just the next 30 days. You know, the change to life is much more drastic than it was after 9/11 in that sense. We're fighting an invisible enemy, just like after 9/11. We didn't know what was going to happen after the terrorist attacks. But we're you know, after 9/11, we could still, for the most part, go to work and kids would go back to school, and life could get to some sense of normalcy, even as we were dealing with a tragedy as a nation. This is something that, you know, we have things that have kept us propped up for generations. Our social ties, the very fabric of what makes us people, has been put at risk. We can't do simple things like have dinner with friends. We can't go to a friend's, you know, it makes no sense to go to a friend's house and have a big dinner party. We can't go to movies. It's just little things that, in the grand scheme, yeah, they're not important. It's not life and death, but we're social animals. You know, humans are social animals, and we do collect, and we do like to go do things together. So the very things that often sustain us in the times of greatest need are not there. Our social wiring is broken right now. I'm going to bring in Crystal. I'm going to bring in Scott German. Let's see if I can bring him in here. He wants to join us. And
let's see. Scott, are you online with us?
Hello, Chris.
Hey, Scott, thanks for joining us here. Anything you want to contribute here? We're talking Virginia news updates and the latest in terms of the situation here in Virginia. What are you seeing where you are? You're out in Flavanna County, halfway between Charlottesville and Richmond. What are you seeing out your way?
Well, I'm seeing a lot of people. I know they're taking it serious, but I also see a lot of people panicking. And you know, now I'm just watching some TV news that I'm almost ready to kind of go off the grid again, because I think you can watch too much TV. Now I'm seeing on TV that President Trump is now suggesting that containment measures are too extreme. So it's kind of scary when you're more worried about our government than you are dying of this virus.
Well, okay, let me say this for those who, because it's a great point you bring up, not the specific thing about what the latest thing President Trump's saying, but about consumption of news. Let's say that. And Scott, while you're not talking, go, if you could mute, you can actually, there's a mute button beside, because we're getting some feedback on your line. And then I'll join back in if you have something to say. As far as consumption of news, I think I've seen this advice given, and I think it's great advice, that if this is worrying you at all, maybe dial back your consumption of news. You know, nothing's going to change from you knowing or not knowing the latest minute-by-minute developments. And I'm saying that to you, Scott, but also to you listeners out there. Nothing's going to change whether or not you know the latest from what the Washington Post has to say, or CNN has to say, or MSNBC has to say, New York Times has to say. Nothing's going to change one way or the other. Your situation is your situation. So if you're the kind of person that gets riled up by news, this is not a good time to be consuming a lot of news, because honestly, and I'm someone who I like to think of myself as a pretty calm person with these kind of things. I'm also a good media critic type person, and I'm seeing a lot of what I feel is exploitative journalism going on right now, both by print news and also broadcast news, kind of playing on fears. They want you to watch more. They want you to click more. And so the headlines are salacious. The chyrons that across the screen at the bottom of the screen are even worse. And so what I would say is, you know, if it's the kind of thing that gets your blood boiling, don't let it boil your blood. Stay away. And that said, Scott, I don't entirely disagree with the general sentiment that I've seen out there, not just from President Trump. I'm not a big fan politically. I'm putting down my spears right now, because right now politics aren't important. Right now, getting through this as a nation is important. But I do think there has to be a healthy balance between our physical health and our economic health. If we all live through this, but our economy goes away, what do we have left over? So I think it's important that we kind of balance all that out. But again, I think a bigger message is if this is raising your heart rate, and I'm saying this, I've done this myself, and Crystal, I want you to join in too, but I have a Apple Watch that monitors my heart rate. My resting heart rate is normally around 47. There was a couple of days ago, as I was reading this news minute by minute, my resting heart rate on Saturday was in the 60s. And so I said, you know what, got to calm that down. I just shut it down. And now I look at this more on a hourly basis or every couple hours basis, and my resting heart rate today is 51. So I know that's had an impact on me. And I know that it's having an impact on a lot of you folks. If it's going to make your mental health worse, just stay away from it. Crystal, what do you want to throw in?
Yeah, I just wanted to add a couple of things. I mean, obviously anxiety is up for a lot of people. I mean, you're having to make a lot of decisions in a very quick period of time. The governor actually addressed that as well, saying, especially with unemployment and some of the issues that we're facing right now as Virginians and as a nation, you know, that, you know, between unemployment, that fear, depression, things like that are coming up. And those are major health concerns. I agree with you that one of the best, you know, advice that you can give is to only pay attention to the news that matters to you, like try to limit how much you're watching TV and things of that nature. The other thing is there are a lot of resources available. I know that a lot of people feel, especially people who might get ongoing treatment and things of that nature. You might feel very isolated right now. There are a ton of online resources. There's telehealth and things of that nature that are still providing counseling and things of that nature if you need it. There's some resources available. I'm a member of the Board of Directors of Mental Health America of Augusta, and Mental Health America National actually put out some resources as well that can assist you. If you go to mhanational.org/COVID-19, they put together some resources there for you as well. And that's everything from tips for social distancing, if you're working from home, things of that nature, to things related to financial support, especially with costs related to the COVID-19. There's mental health screening tools available there, as well as some helplines. You know, there's warm lines available, as well as hotlines available, crisis lines available. You know, some of them are text lines, but basically resources for people who may need them as stress levels and anxiety levels are higher. And again, that advice that you gave at the very beginning, which is just distance yourself a little bit. You know, you have, most people have TV and books and games and puzzles and family. And, you know, in a couple of days, it's going to be 60 degrees plus here in Virginia to where you can get outside. So, you know, distancing yourself from some of the news may be helpful as well.
Yeah. For our listeners out there, Scott's still on the line with us. Our listeners out there, usually Scott and I, Scott is, of course, he's been a longtime contributor to Augusta Free Press as a sports writer, sports broadcaster. And our job, usually we sit together at UVA basketball games, UVA football games. And what often happens is this: Scott's usually to my left. Scott usually is convinced that the worst is going to happen to our UVA team we're watching and expresses that out loud. And then my job is to say, Scott, it's okay. We're going to win the game. Just calm down. It's good. And so, but the thing is, we're sitting beside each other and I can do that. Right now, Scott's in Fluvanna County. I'm in Waynesboro, and I can't sit with Scott. I mean, you know what I'm saying, Scott? We can't sit beside each other and play this out and calm each other down a little bit. And so I can totally see why. Like, if you're so, do you think that advice helps, Scott? Do you think it helps to just say maybe turn the TV off or turn on Andy Griffith Show? Does that help?
Yeah, Chris, can you hear me still?
I can still hear you. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I do. And I'm not. You know, I'm not. Believe me, I'm not nearly to the point that I often am at sporting events, but I do find it a lot more helpful to just limit how much you sit in front of the TV. Because I kind of did an experiment the other day after one of the presidential press conferences. I listened to CNN, and then I turned it back and followed Fox. And you can still, even in this moment of crisis, you can still see in these major networks playing politics, taking sides. You were CNN was still doom and gloom. Fox was more upbeat. I think you have to be careful not only of watching too much, but of where you watch this news too. So hopefully there's a center point out there where there are people bringing you the facts that you need to know without doling out a political, you know, taking a political side of it as well.
Yeah, and I think, too, I'll tell you what I'm doing personally, just for the sake of I've watched a couple of those presidential press conferences, and then I've read the reports afterwards, and the reports that I've read afterwards haven't largely kind of gone over what I heard in the press conference. So I'm avoiding even more of the print media than I usually do, because I'll say this for this reason. There's plenty of people in the print media particularly who are looking to make – they want you to click. They want you to watch. They, you know, that's how they make money. So the more sanguine the headlines, the better. I don't know that it does any of us any good at this stage to make it out. It's already bad enough. And there seem to be plenty of people in the media who are trying to make it worse, and that's fine. That's if that's what gets them going, if that's what gets them clicks, that's great for them. I'm not going to contribute to that. You know, Augusta Free Press has decided, you know what, it's not like we're saying the world is great, remain, you know, all this kind of stuff. You know, it's lollipops and rainbows and everything else. But, you know, we're all struggling through this from a lot of ways. We're struggling because we have to stay at home. Some people are temporarily laid off, hopefully temporarily laid off, not completely laid off forever, lose their jobs forever, lose their homes, lose everything else. And so it's bad enough. And then, of course, there are people who are sick. There are people who are dying. Bad enough. Don't make it worse. So Augusta Free Press's official policy is don't make it worse. And so, you know, yeah, we're reporting, we're giving you information. This is our philosophy. We're giving you information from what the local governments say. Our local governments are Charlottesville, Albemarle, Stanton, Waynesboro, Augusta, Harrisonburg, Rockingham. Those are our local governments from our readership region. Also the state government. We're keeping up with what the state government has to say. Obviously, that's impactful to our lives. Outside of that, then we're also giving you information from a health standpoint. We're sharing what experts from local colleges and universities are saying in terms of how to keep your mental health positive, to keep up with your friends, keep up with seniors from a distancing standpoint. I mean, how hard that is, but you can do it. And also our local businesses and local nonprofit organizations, what they're doing to try to keep in front of you, to keep, hey, remember us when this comes back. We're trying to keep as positive an attitude with this as possible because it's tough. It's tough enough without, to my opinion, there's plenty of folks in the national media who are trying to make this worse. And I don't understand that. And I'm frustrated by it, but we're not going to contribute to it. That's why we wanted to have Crystal come on and Scott's signed off. And thank you, Scott, for your contributions to this. You gave us some really good points to bring up from a mental health standpoint, because Crystal, for our listeners out there, you kind of mentioned it, Crystal, you serve on the board of MHAA locally, the Mental Health Association of America locally. But you've also been, you're a trained suicide prevention trainer. You've been the state director of the Virginia chapter of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. An important aspect to this, Crystal, is that we have a running tab of how many people have died from coronavirus. Something that we probably won't know until long after this is over is the suicide tab from this, from all the people anguishing over their jobs, their families, their homes. I don't know that we're going to know that for a while, but that's something I'm very concerned about.
I think it's something too that you have to take one day at a time, and it's very hard to tell someone who might be at a crisis point. You know, it's hard to tell them to think that way. But while things may seem very dire right now, there have been community supports put in place. So if you're in need of food, you know, there's a YMCA text line, there's food pantries. The governor even set up a line that's trying to help facilitate information related to where you can get food if you're in need of food. It sounds like some directives are being made at the state and the national level, trying to keep people from panicking, you know, related to you can't evict someone, you know, for a certain period of time. Your electricity isn't going to be cut off. Your water isn't going to be cutting off. You know, those essential services are going to continue to flow to you. That doesn't mean that someone who already struggles that this kind of life change can't cause additional anxiety and more suicidal thoughts and things of that nature. And so I think it's been very proactive for mental health community as a whole, both NAMI and Mental Health of America and some of the other organizations out there, to make sure that information on mental health is readily available as well. The telehealth community has really stepped up as well, offering information related to how you can get, you know, if you can't get in to see your normal doctor or your normal therapist, you know, maybe there's some of these telehealth type options available to you as well. And then there's always the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline as well. That number is 1-800-273-8255. I know I read that really fast, but that you can Google that information as well. And that's available 24/7. So we'll try to post that to the Augusta Free Press Facebook page as well, which is just facebook.com/Augusta Free Press. But definitely, if you're concerned about someone, check in with them. You know, even though we're calling this physical distancing right now at Augusta Free Press, we're not calling this social distancing. There's still phone calls available. So call in and check on your loved ones that you may be concerned about. You know, a lot of friends that I know are setting up Zoom and things like that so we can kind of have, you know, calls among a larger number of people. You know, we can kind of chat and have some virtual things available. But the main thing is, if you're concerned about somebody, check in on them, make sure that they're okay. and, you know, be there to listen is oftentimes the most important thing, because even though, you know, there, it sounds like there are long-term solutions that are kind of being put in place related to this, these kind of changes can be very hard for many of us. And so, you know, that's just the main thing that I would say. If you're concerned about someone, make sure you put that suicide prevention lifeline number in your phone. You know, make sure you know what local resources available. Last time I checked, Valley Community Services Board was still intaking people with that were in suicidal crisis, you know, that where it was an essential service basically to get people in there. And you can always, you know, take someone to an emergency room or call 911 if you're concerned about someone as well. So just keep those things in mind. And then as a community, again, the more that we can do to provide supports for people who are struggling right now, I think is going to be important. And this isn't going to be a 30-day cycle, because if people aren't paying their rent and aren't paying their utilities during this time because they're having to put the money toward food and other essentials, there's still going to come a time when this is going to stack and things are going to become due. So we just need to, as a community, continue to provide as much support as we can for, you know, at-risk and people in need in our community.
Yeah, when I hear people talk about how this isn't going to be over in 30 days, that's what I think, that if in 30 days we magically go back to quote-unquote normal, it's not going to be normal one. If Scott German's still listening to us, I mentioned this on the previous podcast I just did that was more sports-focused. It's not going to be like when Scott and I got into the car on March 10th, a Tuesday, to head down to Greensboro to watch basketball. You know, back then we were still carefree. We got into a arena full of 15,000 people and watch basketball games. Even in 30 days, it's not like there's going to be a button push and we're going to go back to having 15,000 people at basketball games. You're not going to have concerts and things like that for a while. I'm not saying that you're not going to have sports. I'm just saying that things are going to be different for a while. You probably will have sports, for example, with no fans. It'll just be on TV. You'll still be able right now. A lot of artists are putting concerts on Facebook Live or on other streaming media, Twitch and Instagram and things like that. And YouTube there, that may be the way you get live music for a while. You know, your favorite local theater group may, as yesterday here locally in our area, American Shakespeare Center put on a Facebook Live performance of Shakespeare. I think it was A Midsummer Night's Dream. That may be the case for even a few weeks after we push the magic button and things start going back to normal. You may see a slow return to, okay, you can go back to work, but maybe movie theaters aren't open right away. Restaurants may not open for a while, even after we get back to sort of normal. So the 30 days is going to be 30 days of these restrictions we have in place now, but I still expect even for a few weeks after that, you're still going to be sort of on some sort of different life than you were before. I say all that to say, steel yourself for this as best you can. And again, I just think it's important. You know what? Hopefully you trust us enough to tell you the truth and what's going on. But I don't know that if this is stressing you out so much, and you're listening to this right now, and this is stressing you out so much that the news is actually raising your blood level, raising your blood pressure, you know, making you feel anxious unnecessarily so probably. Because, and I say unnecessarily so, your worrying doesn't do anything about it. This is what I'm telling myself, so I'm telling you this too. Your worrying about it doesn't make it better. So if consuming news makes things more difficult for you, binge watch a show, watch a basketball game from last year, from 10 years ago, and relax a bit, the best you can, because this is the way we'll get through it. If we go stir crazy, that's what's going to make it hard to get through this. We need to just kind of calm down, step back, and as best as possible, maintain a positive attitude, because whether we do or not, we're going to endure this. It'll be easier if you have a positive attitude.
Well, and I think that, you know, the other common sense things that I'll just emphasize one more time before we wrap up, because I'm sure you're eager to write some stories in reference to this too, but you know, the common sense things of when you do have to go to the grocery store, or if you're going to some other essential service, you know, keep in mind that social distancing, you shouldn't be within 6 feet of anyone else. So even if you have to go a little slower down an aisle or something like that, you should maintain that social distance. Wash your hands and wash them often. Use hand sanitizer when you can. And then the last thing would just be if you're not feeling well, if you have a fever, if you have a cough, if you're, you know, anything that are any of these symptoms that are related, you know, to COVID-19, And regardless of whether it's COVID-19 or not, you know, the whole point of this is that if you have the flu or something like that, you could be compromised in the sense that you'd be more likely to get coronavirus. So the best method is if you're not feeling well, stay home. You know, send someone else from your family to go get groceries. If there isn't someone else, then use some of these resources, these text services and things like that, that will literally help by delivering stuff to your doorstep. You know, there are resources out there. There are people that are willing to help. You know, as a community, we need to stay healthy. And as individuals, if we're feeling unhealthy, we really need to stay home. And just one last reminder, too, that, you know, every hospital kind of has their own policies. But Augusta Health in particular, they have set up a telephone line, basically, where you can call if you're concerned about yourself or someone in your family, kind of as a pre-screening type thing. But if you need advice related to coronavirus and you're in the Stanton, Waynesboro, and Augusta region of Virginia, then there is the COVID care call center that is staffed, and that number is 540-332-5122. Again, just to wrap up, that telephone number, all the resources that we talked about on today's podcast, you can find online on AugustaFreePress.com. If you click in the right-hand column of Augusta Free Press, you'll see AFP coronavirus links. Click on that and you'll get all the links to the information that we've discussed today. Also, all of the governor's announcements that I discussed earlier in this podcast, we also posted to our Facebook page. So if you're looking for clarification on that, and I'm sure Chris, as the governor sends out news releases related to this, you'll even have more in-depth articles on it. But I did post as breaking news to the Facebook page at facebook.com/AugustaFreePress, kind of the information as the governor reported it during the news conference. So you can check that out as well. And again, as we said, lots more information coming as we go forward. You know, we're in this together. If you need any help finding resources or anything like that, feel free to email us as well, because we can point you to the right direction on our website. So, Chris, sorry to interrupt your sports podcast, but we did kind of have the breaking news related especially to the school system. To many, it wasn't a surprise. I was chatting with one of my former teachers who still works for Augusta County Schools this morning, and I think this was his prediction that schools would be shut to the end of the year. So he was correct.
Yeah, not a surprise. And at least now we know, and that's knowing is important. And I think having 30 days as our next deadline is helpful as well. It's helpful, even if it's tough to get through. It's helpful to know some things. So we know more things, so we will have more information on our website. Still awaiting that press release with all the details from the governor's office. We'll have that as soon as it's here. We'll get it up on our website with all the details on AugustaFreePress.com. I got to thank Crystal Graham for monitoring all this for us, for helping us through all this, and for our listeners out there, for our contributors. Scott German called in. We had a person from Washington State join us as well. Thank you for your contributions, and we will talk to you again soon.